Lord, we're standing on holy ground tonight. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the precious, wonderful blood of Jesus. Lord, because we're rebels until Jesus came and transformed us into something else. Into something that's different in this world. It's something that operates by a different spirit. By the spirit of the living creator God. And Lord, we can't boast in anybody or anything except in Jesus. Hallelujah. And Lord, we boast in you tonight. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I have something here which is very special for everybody. I do a lot of street evangelism in the city, and Grafton Street, and in Temple Bar, and various other places in the city. And often I find myself saying to people on the street, I say, you know what, there's a part of the Bible that God wrote with his own finger. And that part is, we know, the Ten Commandments. You know, God gave the law to Moses. And people say, well, God didn't write the Bible, or man wrote the Bible, all this stuff. I say, there's a bit God wrote himself. And it's the, but I'm going to show you another bit, which you probably don't know about. And it's God wrote, spoke three sentences. And they're hidden in the names of the people from Adam up to Noah. Now, this is so cool. I have it all written out here. I don't know how I'm going to display this, but it's worth looking at. But before I do it, well, I've got 12 of these now, but I'm going to start with first four. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4. Just hold them for a minute. That's the first one. Adam. And that's a Hebrew word, and it means man. So I'll come to the next one in a second. But before I do that, I want to tell you this. In the Word of God, right at the beginning in Genesis, God made the world. And God said it was good. He said all the bits and pieces that he made in the first few days, he said it's good. And when he made it all, he said it's very good. But guess what? After that, he said it's not good. Because he said it's not good for man to be alone. So this is really interesting. It went from good to very good to not good. And it is not good for man to be alone. But let me say there was a mirror of something going on in heaven. God's plan was obviously to bring forth woman out of man. But guess what? God's greater plan was this. That his son in heaven, who he knew from eternity past, he loved his son like we don't know. Like beyond description, the intimacy between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But you know what? It wasn't good for man to be alone. It wasn't good for the Son to be alone. There was to be a bride for the Son. And so God decided, I'm going to make man the head of my creation. I'm going to begin to make a bride for my Son. So what God did was, he formed out of the dust of the ground. Just like you go on a beach and you make a sandcastle. Anyone ever do that? Anyone ever go to a beach? Do you have beaches in Nigeria? Yeah. Okay, lovely sand and you make a sandcastle. But sometimes, I like to make other things as well in sand. And I make sculptures sometimes. You know, men or fish or boats or something. You know, a bit of fun for the children. But you know, once I made a man on the sand. I remember it was full size. And the man was lying down and he had all his sand in his head and his nose and everything. And then I thought of what God did. Because God took the earth and he sculpted it into the shape of a man. And then he got down. And the Word of God says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Hallelujah. But guess what? I often think about this. The second before God breathed into Adam, into his nostrils, the breath of life. I bet a lot of things went through God's head. I bet the thought of, I'm going to create a man in my image with free will. Now it has to be free will because love comes from free will. If God made a robot, there wouldn't be love. So God had to take that risk to make a man who could choose evil as well as good. And God would have known the pain that would come to this earth when man, who inevitably would choose evil in the garden. And God would know that to redeem mankind, to create a bride for his son, he would have to send the only innocent person ever, sent his only son onto this earth to die and to pour out his blood and to pay the price to redeem the people of God, to redeem a people for his son. And I wonder, I just think about this. I wonder, did God hesitate before he breathed into the nostrils of Adam? Did he think, let's call it off. Let's call off this project. Let's not create man because the pain is too much. I couldn't bear to be separated from my son for a second. I couldn't bear the suffering that's going to come to this world. But you know what? When we think about it, God didn't stop. God did breathe into Adam's nostrils and create mankind because there's something greater in evil in this world. There's something greater that God was looking ahead to. And it was a rich eternal fellowship in heaven. Hallelujah.
Now, you're wondering why I got the signs.
Here's another one. Adam is the first sign. Okay, another volunteer? Anybody else come up here? I need four hands here. No volunteers?
I'll have to volunteer you here, sir.
Well done. You stand here and hold up Adam. And the next one is Seth. Okay, hang on, you have to stand here. And Adam, just hold Seth to be beside Adam. Seth was Adam's son. And Enos, Seth's son. And these, what's underneath is the English translation of the Hebrew words. So you just stand there with Enos. I'll make sure Canaan is over here now. You have to go over here. So we don't want to mix them all up. Okay, now look what God said. God, these are the children, Adam's son, Seth, then Enos, then Canaan. But look what it means. Man is appointed mortal sorrow. That's the words, the Hebrew words. So God is speaking to us right throughout his words, hidden in the scriptures, that man is appointed to mortal sorrow. God knew this right at the beginning. Now, I'm going to give you another few more here. Hold on, there's three more. Okay, you can put them on the ground. Okay, maybe some people can still read them if they want, face them out. Just on the ground here. So, if you're tall enough. Man, it's appointed mortal sorrow. And here's the next generation. Mehalalel.
Blessed God.
Then there's Jared.
Shall come down. Can you believe this? This is what these words mean.
These are Hebrews, Jared, and it means shall come down. And here's the next one. Enoch. Teaching.
Hallelujah. So blessed God shall come down teaching. And what is it? What is God teaching? What is it he wants to teach? It's something about man's nature and about God's nature. And what God wants to teach us is that man is fallen. We have broken God's law. Who here can stand up tonight and say, I'm a good person? Hands up. Anybody? Well, the truth is, nobody can say they're good in the sight of a holy, perfect God. We've all broken his perfect law. And guess what? God in heaven is holy. God has revealed it through his word. Heaven is a perfect place. The last time there was a messer up there, he got tossed out and a third of the angels went with him. We know the story about Lucifer being cast down. But guess what? Heaven's a beautiful, perfect, holy place. And God loves the world so much that he wants to reconcile fallen man with holy God. But here's the next sentence. You can put that one down now.
So you put it here. God blessed God shall come down teaching. This is cool, isn't it?
Okay, and we're getting close to Noah now. Here's Methuselah. His death brings.
And Lamech, despairing. I had it in.
The word went in there. The.
His death brings the despairing. And the last one, the name of my son, Noah, which means rest. Hallelujah.
So look, you know, his death, the death of Jesus Christ, the innocent son, the living God, brings the despairing rest. The whole message of the word of God. You know the way on a Saturday sometimes in the city you go by and there might be a wedding on in a church, you know, and you see the bride, and you see the car, and it's just, Most people smile when they see a wedding on the street. People beep their horn in excitement. Do you know, this Word of God is just a book about a wedding. It's a book about a wedding of Holy God and of Jesus Christ and His bride. And all the mess that's in this world, there's a great warfare going on. And remember this, the mankind is threefold: spirit, soul, and body. God created us that way. But guess what? Jesus Christ came to save, to heal, and to deliver. And if you study the Word of God, it talks about sozo. When Jesus came to save people from their sins, the word used there is S-O-Z-O. And it means to save, heal, and deliver. That means that Jesus came to deal with the spirit, to save your spirit, to that's to save, to heal, speaking of the body, to set your body free from the power of sickness. And also, thirdly, to deliver you, to set your soul free from the oppression. And don't tell me Christians don't have oppressions in their life. They do. And don't tell me they don't need deliverance. They do. Because Jesus Christ came for a complete salvation. Hallelujah. Spirit, soul, and body. Remember this story? You can put these down now. That's great. Leave them there. Thanks for the volunteers. Hallelujah. Oh, you better put Lamech the right way around. No. Is that brings the despairing rest. Hallelujah. And you remember the story of the outside of the temple? There was a beggar who'd been there 38 years, I think it was. And think about that. Jesus Christ, throughout his ministry, would walk by him many a time as he went to the temple and did nothing. And maybe the enemy was accusing Jesus and saying, "Oh, look at him, you're doing nothing. You call yourself the Son of God." And every day Jesus walked by without healing him. And but you know what? God had a plan. You know, and Peter walked by one day with the Holy Spirit inside of him. And it was the right time. And the beggar asked for some money. And he said, "I don't have money. But what I do have, you know, stand up, rise up in the name of Jesus." And the Word of God says that he was walking and leaping and praising God. You know, walking and leaping and praising God. And that means that God dealt with him. He was walking. He was healed. God dealt with his body. He was leaping. That means God filled him with joy. And his soul was being dealt with. And he was praising God. His spirit, soul, and body. God came to completely deliver him. And we stop so short so often. Maybe we just get saved and scrape into heaven. But guess what? That's not it. Maybe we'll save and get healed and just get into heaven. But that's not it. God's desire is we be saved, healed, and delivered. And God wants to set us free from the oppression of the enemy in every way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, praise God. Father, I just want to praise you and thank you for your word. Lord, I just thank you that buried in the names. And Lord, I love meeting Nigerian people. I often ask them, "What's their name?" And they tell me what a wonderful meaning it is about God being their Savior or something like that. Some amazing meaning. And Lord, I just thank you that buried in the Hebrew scriptures, we see these messages. We see this wonderful message about the gospel being buried in here. Hallelujah. And the fact that you cared about us right from the beginning and you knew when you're watching over us even tonight. And Father God, I just thank you for every person in this room. In the name of Jesus, I just thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. I ask you now, Lord, Lord, I pray for a fresh baptism. Lord, we read about the baptism in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. But Lord, we read about it in Acts chapter 4. Lord, we read about it in Acts chapter 8. Lord, we just see that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is an ongoing baptism. Hallelujah. And Father, I ask tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we just raise our hands and we just say, Lord Jesus, we ask you to set us free because it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Hallelujah. Freedom at last. Hallelujah. Freedom from the oppression of the enemy. Hallelujah. Because we know the enemy at Calvary, there was a public spectacle made at Calvary. When Jesus died on the cross, we remember, Lord, that there was a display of the demonic powers, and every one of them in chains and defeated. Every one of them defeated by the blood of the Lamb. There's not a demon in this city, in this place, anywhere, Lord God, that has not been defeated by your blood. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you and thank you for that, oh Lord God. Lord, we just thank you for the wonderful freedom you give us.
Hallelujah. Freedom from the law and the constraints of legalism. Hallelujah. Freedom to worship you and to shout out your name and to be not ashamed of the gospel. Hallelujah. And Lord, we have a city where there's people are shameless about sin. Lord, they parade us, Lord, openly and with no shame. But Lord, we've no shame about the name of Jesus. We've no shame about the name above all names. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray for a boldness come upon the people here. Lord, a boldness for evangelism, a boldness for preaching, Lord God, a boldness to proclaim your word and to remember your good deeds. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that you pour that out over the people here. Oh Lord, you love these people, and Lord, we love you. But Father, we ask you for a fresh infilling, Lord, with the fire of God, that we can be your witnesses. Lord, we'd not be ashamed and afraid and shrink back. Oh Lord, we ask you to help us in this area. Lord, make us strong and make us bold. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we praise you. Hallelujah. I just want to wait in the Holy Spirit for a minute. I feel like the Lord's not finished yet. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. So Hallelujah. Father, I just praise you. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, there's a heart problem in this room. Lord, there's somebody with a heart problem. And Lord Jesus, Lord, you promised in your word. You said it. You give us a new heart and a new spirit. And Father, I just pray right now by the power of your spirit, Lord, you would reach down and touch that heart. Lord, the valves that are stressed and out of line and wrong, Lord, that you'd reach in and replace, Lord God. Replace and renew and give a perfect heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord, I just ask you to do that in Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I just believe there's someone in this room who's got an irrational and an overpowering fear of cancer. And Lord, I just speak to that now in the name of Jesus. I speak to you, foul, lying spirit, in Jesus' name. I say, get out of that. Get out of that person. Get out of this room, in Jesus' name. Get out of this room, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you. We just praise you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm surprised that demon hung around so long, because worship is wonderful. And in Psalm 149, it explains what happens in worship. It says, I'm going to read this for you. Praise Jesus. We should never, ever, ever underestimate worship. Never. Because that's the enemy's a liar, and he's always saying that. He's always saying, you big Egypt, what are you going on singing about Jesus all the time? I'll tell you why we sing about Jesus. Because that's the name he hates. It's the name that's above his name, above all names. Here it is in Psalm 149. It says, may the praises of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands to inflict vengeance on the nations. This is speaking about the demonic powers. To bring vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. Again, these peoples we're talking about are demonic powers. To bind their kings with fetters. The demonic powers and authorities, the kings, to be bound up in fetters. Their nobles with shackles of iron. To carry out, I love this bit, to carry out the sentence written against them. Do you see the judgment against the demonic power? It's already written. It's already recorded. It's past. It's history. But guess what? God needs policemen. And you're a policeman. God's called you to enforce his authority and to speak this out. And then it's the last part of this says, this is the glory of all his saints. Praise the Lord. What a glorious thing. Is to be God's policeman or God's soldier to carry out the written judgment against the demonic powers. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Let's just wait on the Lord again. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Oh, we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Father. I believe there's somebody in here who's got a hard to describe this problem.